You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Morning, Tri-State. Welcome back to Radio Rehab. Happy Easter, happy Passover, and any other holiday this weekend. Lots of celebrations going on. I have a great, great guest to share with you today and to talk with you. Dr. Bill Wooten is now the founding father of the Youth First Incorporation that has done incredible things in the community for families and young people and the schools. But I met him in 1985. He was really one of the first doctors in the tri-state that was licensed in addiction medicine and started the Mulberry Center. And I want him to share his experiences with you about that, about coming into a community that didn't want to believe that people were addicted to drugs and alcohol, especially young people. And he's just a wealth of experience and knowledge. So I'm proud to be his friend and that he calls me his friend. Good morning, Dr. Wooten.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
I'm lucky to have you here and not on the golf course today.
Well, I don't play golf that much.
You don't anymore?
No, not too much.
Oh, okay. Well, Dr. Wooten, we were talking a little ahead of time. And I thought it would be important for you to just talk about what shaped you, what made you, you've always been dedicated to health, but what happened that made you go into addiction health, and how did that all start up?
Well, the older I get, the longer the story gets.
Yeah.
I came to Evansville in 1977 after finishing residency and family practice in Michigan. I guess even in my medical school years at the University of Missouri, I had an interest in addiction and alcoholism. A good part of my internal medicine training was at a veterans hospital, and it just seemed that there was a significant number of people who came in the door there for medical treatment that had addictions to alcohol and other things in addition to whatever they were being hospitalized for. So regardless of whether I was on a surgical rotation or a medicine rotation or a gastroenterology rotation or whatever, as a student, I saw problems related to alcohol and other drugs, and it just sort of intrigued me. Going back a little further than that, and it's probably related somehow, but I don't know exactly how, I had a brother who had a serious alcohol and drug problem, and I have to think that his difficulties over the years may have shaped some of my interest in looking for solutions to that problem.
Did you know that what was wrong with him was alcoholism, or did working in the Veterans Administration help you understand it better?
I think like anyone else, being a family member of someone who has an alcohol problem, it took some time for me to recognize what his problem was, you know, but...
If you hadn't worked in the field, would you have known that's what it was?
I wasn't working in the field of addiction medicine back then. I was just a medical student. But I think perhaps being in medicine and some of my medical education was in behavioral health helped me understand and recognize what was happening to him.
Do you think most of us in this field have been affected at an emotional level, and do you think that that makes us a little more passionate about this cause?
I think so. I think many of the people in the treatment field have been impacted in one way, shape, or another by addictions, either of their own or out of a family member. But I honestly think that most people, most citizens of the Evansville area have been impacted in one way, shape, or another by someone with a drinking or drug problem, whether they recognize it or not.
So when you started the Mulberry Center as their medical director, did you realize the challenge and the denial and the kind of things you were going to have to deal with as a physician as well as a leader of a new program?
You know, it's everything that I tell you would be looking at it in retrospect.
Sure.
I'm not sure I recognized all of those things before I accepted the position of medical director of addiction services at Mulberry Center. I believe I was picked for that position because of my interest for, first of all, in addictions and behavioral health, but also because of my medical training. There was not an interest in having a psychiatrist be in charge of the addiction treatment program because of all the associated medical problems that come in the door there. They needed someone who could handle both sides of the issues, the medical detox and the medical illnesses, intestinal bleeding, high blood pressure, drug withdrawal, seizures, delirium, and so forth that occur in a detox and treatment program. You know, many of those patients haven't had regular medical care, so they need a director with a strong medical background as well as someone who had an interest in addictions.
But past a history and physical, the rest of your work was shaping a team of people into marching to recovery.
Well, we had great support. We had a lot of people with a broad variety of backgrounds and skills, and so we had it was a team effort which made Mulberry Center a very special place. There were people who specialized in the family aspects of addiction. We had some excellent therapists. We had some wonderful nurses. We had some teachers who helped kids with their school issues as they came through treatment.
And then
we had the recovering community. The volunteers helped a lot. We had, you know, supportive probation officers and juvenile judges. It was a team effort.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's still that way?
Well, some of that's gone. Adolescent addiction treatment, as we knew it back in those years, doesn't exist in Evansville any longer. You know, it was a multi-tiered, multi-level style of treatment based on the intensity and complexity of the problems that an individual might have. And we had inpatient treatment that could last up to 6 weeks for adolescents, which we can't do that anymore.
But it's in jail.
Unfortunately, in jail or in a hospital setting. Unfortunately, the inpatient treatment model is for kids at least, is pretty much a thing of the past. I think there's still a place for it, but only those who have significant resources can afford to obtain it.
Yeah, it's all about money, isn't it?
Well, it is. You know, I think there's a desire to provide more, but the reality is that unless you can pay for it, you can't sustain it.
Yeah. So going into the Mulberry Center definitely shaped you again from a physician into that experience.
Yeah, it was a great experience. I think just like medical school changed my life, Mulberry Center changed my life, and the longer I worked there, the more interested I got in the field of addictions, and I wouldn't trade that 20 years of experience for anything. I really love that work.
Me too.
And as the longer I was there, I became increasingly interested in the adolescent population that was coming through the door.
Yeah, what made that turn?
Well, I've always enjoyed being around young people.
Yeah.
And as a physician, I think, you know, we're trained to try to intervene early on illnesses and treat it before many of the other complications occur. And with addictions, you have not just the medical complications, you know, be it liver disease, hepatitis, HIV, or whatever, but the family complications, the social and legal complications that occur. And with young people coming in the door, I think we just have an opportunity that's often missed to try to catch it before they lose everything.
So we don't see young people in DTs and tremors and gastrointestinal and heart and blood pressure problems. What kind of things do we see in young people that let us know physically they're in big trouble?
Physically, you don't see much in the way of physical withdrawal with young people. It's more a psychological issue with young people who are going through intense cravings, mood swings, irritability, anger, acting out in a variety of ways. And many times I think they are misdiagnosed by physicians or other healthcare providers who are seeing the behaviors and not aware of what's going on behind the scenes with drugs and alcohol. And by the way, alcohol is still number one. Alcohol and tobacco kill many, many times more people than all of the other illegal drugs combined. So
right.
I think we often lose sight of that when we see the headlines. But
Well, definitely in our adventure-based challenge program at Youth First, all the kids have experienced drinking and marijuana long before mm-hmm. anything else.
Kids don't. People who are using drugs or addicted don't start with meth and heroin.
No, no. Well, we have to take a break. Tri-State, don't go away. This is heating up. We're going to talk more about young people and Dr. Wooten and Youth First and a lot of the things that they offer that we need to know about for our kids and families. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hey, you. Yeah, you listening to the radio. It's me again. Have you got that HIV test yet? As I mentioned before, if you have put yourself at risk by having unprotected sex with more than one person or used IV drugs, guess what? You've put yourself at risk for HIV. Make that appointment today by calling the Vandenberg County Health Department at 435-5683 or stop by 420 East Mulberry. It's that easy. Remember, everything is confidential. No one has to know you've gotten the test unless you tell them, so do it. What do you have to lose except maybe your life or your partner's life? When in doubt, get checked out.
You're on the beach in Hawaii. Sand in your toes, blue breeze in your face when you're handed a board and told to start surfing because you're next in the big wave championship. And before you can say, mahalo, you're in a 25-foot pipeline with the deep sea in your nose, but it feels clean and smells cleaner. So you pull a barn-walling maneuver and ride it to the beach where people take a whiff of your sparkly shine. No, you're a hang ten master and crown you world champion.
Ooh, that's sparkling wave pine salt, baby. One of five intense pine salt scents loaded with the powerful scent of clean.
Do you take pride in making a difference in the lives of others? Do you dream of what you could do if you had more resources? The makers of Pine Sol Cleaners want to partner with you to take a step toward that dream with the Powerful Difference Awards contest. Nominate yourself or another extraordinary woman at PowerfulDifference.com. Win a $10,000 donation for your organization and be featured in Ebony Magazine. Find out more at PowerfulDifference.com. No purchase necessary. Open to legal U.S. residents 13 years of age or older as of March 9th. Contest ends May 11th, 2009.
Easter cards are available at Wangari's Cards and Books. Choose from an assortment of African-American Easter cards and graduation cards. We're open Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m. and on Saturday, 10 a.m. till 5 p.m. Wangari's Cards and Books is located at 605 South Evans Avenue. You can call us at 426-7993. Coming soon, Mother's Day cards. Wangari's Cards and Books, 605 South Evans Avenue. You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Warren County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400, or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Welcome back to Radio Rehab, and Dr. Bill Wooten is our guest this morning, and I'll tell you, he's got so much experience and expertise, but I think it's really important we know about something that's really close to his heart right now in 2009, and that's the program Youth First. Dr. Wooten, could you tell us about Youth First, how that became a reality for you and where it is today?
During the 20 years that I served as Medical Director of Addiction Services at Mulberry Center, I saw increasing numbers of young people coming through the door with more and more complex addiction and social problems, mental health problems, and community behaviors that were causing them problems. And it just led me to wonder, you know, if we had not only enough prevention going on in the community, but, you know, were we doing the right things? And so I started looking around at what was happening, and to me it seemed like a patchwork quilt that wasn't sewn together, I guess you could say. And
good way to put it.
I don't know what else to describe, how to describe it.
But good pieces.
But had a lot of pieces, but not very well coordinated, and a lot of things where we really, a lot of circumstances where we really didn't know what was working or what wasn't working, and there was no continuum of services, there was no coordination of services, and there oftentimes it was, I guess you could describe it as there were a lot of silos of activity, but they weren't tied together in any way, shape, or form. So that led me to, first of all, look at the literature and see what works for prevention.
In communities?
In communities.
So more the macro level.
What was working in other places besides Evansville, Indiana? What was out there in the way of research that showed it was effective in changing children's behavior and thinking over the long haul rather than just educating them that drugs are bad or drugs do this to your brain or that
taking it to the next level
or scaring them,
so
to speak. What strategies had proven effective? And so that led me to talk to a number of community people and ultimately to start Youth First, which is has a mission to provide research-proven prevention and early intervention for area children and their families.
Wow, that's a lot.
Founded the organization in 1998, and it's grown from an organization with a budget of about, I think the original, I'm not really sure we had a budget when we first started, to be honest with you. But we had about $60,000 in seed money from an Oak Ridge Boys concert for Welborn Baptist Hospital that provided the initial startup money for Youth First. And now we have a budget of a little over $2 million a year, serving 30,000 individuals yearly. We have about 32 school social workers in over 50 schools in southwestern Indiana. And we have a presence in Vandenberg, Warwick, Gibson, Posey counties, and a few outlying counties.
Wow.
So we're here, there, and everywhere working with schools and churches and other youth service agencies to try to provide effective prevention across the region and not just.
So what's prevention? Is that the crash car in front of the school?
Prevention, the effective types of prevention, again, are focused on changing thinking and behavior for the long haul. Scare tactics. Mm-hmm. Scare tactics don't work.
No.
Speaker events can educate, but they don't necessarily change long-term thinking and behavior.
Right.
Bloody car wreck movies and taking kids to the morgue or prison, those are strategies which have been proven to be ineffective. So we're trying to focus on things that strengthen families, strengthen parenting strategies, and improve school behaviors.
I think somebody wants us on the radio. Wait
sure.
Just a second. Is somebody on the show?
Yeah.
Hi.
What drew you to work with youth?
Thank you.
What was the question again?
She wants to know what made you want to go to the youth population, right? Yeah, what made you want to work with youth?
I just like working with kids. And, you know, the more troubled they were, the more challenging they were, the more I enjoyed trying to help turn them around.
Yeah, you gotta love those kids.
I saw lots of kids over the 20 years at Mulberry Center, and I don't think very many of them were criminals.
No.
They were oftentimes doing bad things, but they were basically good kids. And the same is true for the adults that we saw there. Maybe 10% were criminals.
Good question.
And they stayed. 10% were criminals and stayed that way after treatment.
Yeah.
The other 90% are good people with bad problems.
And youth are a special culture and population. I know your Youth First social workers is one of your most proudest achievements in Youth First.
Yeah, we have, as I mentioned, we have 32 social workers in over 50 schools.
Wow.
Some are in full-time positions at a school, and some are shared between schools. Others are shared between school systems. And I think that's what makes Youth First unique is we bridge not only boundaries between schools within a system, but we bridge school systems, we bridge county boundaries, and we have a continuum of services based on the needs for children and family. We have three different tiers of prevention strategy. We have indicated programs for kids who are already in trouble, We have selective programs for groups of young people who may be at risk for a variety of reasons, whether it be family conflict or mental illness or someone in the family who has a drinking problem. And then we have universal programs, which are available to all parents and children.
So does the Youth First social worker assess it in the school level then to see what kind of level of prevention a youth needs, or how do they get to you?
The social workers see young people who are referred to them by administrators and teachers based on problematic behaviors
in
or grades falling or absenteeism or something. They can be referred by a parent who's concerned about their child. All you would have to do is call your school and ask for your child to see the Youth First social worker or speak to the social worker, and she would make an appointment with your child. And then the other thing that's neat is that we're starting to see an increasing number of kids that are referred by their peers. In other words, young people are referring their friends who they see making bad choices or engaging in problematic behaviors. They're encouraging them to talk to the social worker.
And then the Adventure-Based Challenge Program is more for young people that need, what, a higher level of substance abuse attention?
The Adventure-Based Challenge Program, which is one of our indicated programs.
Yes.
Again, I mentioned the three different levels of intensity for programs, but the Adventure-Based Challenge is only one of our programs dealing with young people who have significant issues of one sort or another and have been identified as being in need of something to complement another type of intervention, be it a social worker intervention or a counseling intervention or a treatment intervention.
Mm-hmm. So it works best if they're all working together.
It's a prescription that needs to be dovetailed to the student's needs.
How do you pay for all this, Dr. Wooten? That's a lot of money.
Well, first of all,
do the schools pay for the Youth First social workers? How?
A blend of resources come to the table to pay for Youth First school social work. We have grants. In some cases, the schools have written grants and then subcontracted with Youth First. In other cases, we've written grants and partnered with schools to provide the services. And then we depend on individuals and companies to support Youth First through their donations. And people in Evansville have been quite generous.
Well, how do you get donations? How?
Well, people can donate on our website, youthfirstinc.org. There's a page there where donations can be submitted on the Internet. Of course, donations can be mailed to Youth First at their address on Morgan Avenue.
And there's a great auction coming up that I love, right?
To make reservations for our auction, which is April 23rd at St. Mary's Manor Auditorium.
It's a Thursday night, isn't
Thursday night. Silent auction, food and entertainment start at 5 o'clock, the live auction at 7 o'clock. And we have some great items up for sale. We hope to raise significant dollars for the school social work and
that
other programs.
That is the best auction ever.
Right.
Love that auction. Does that help?
If you want to make reservations for the auction, call 421-8336, 421-8336, and make reservations. It's open to the public. There's no admission charge.
We have to have reservations?
Reservations are best. It just speeds up the registration for the auction.
Okay.
Otherwise, you'll have to stand in line for the registration a little longer. If you have your information ahead of time, they'll have your card ready for your bidding activities.
And that's coming up.
April 23rd, St. Mary's Manor Auditorium. There's covered parking in case of inclement weather.
And what time does it start?
5 o'clock for the silent auction, food and entertainment, 7 o'clock for the live auction.
So is that what you do for fundraising, a lot of stuff like that?
Well, fundraising, again, it takes a blend of resources. Grants.
Is it hard right now to get money from people?
Well, in difficult economic times, it's my understanding that people may tend to focus their giving to maybe fewer number of organizations, but they generally tend to give just as much. Some people are by necessity can give less, but again they will give, but maybe to fewer organizations. Our experience has been that the Evansville region, the people here, the corporate community have continued to be very generous, and in some cases we've seen increased donations in this past year.
No kidding. Yeah. Even with the economic times the way they are.
Yeah, it's been good. We need more, of course. We're facing some challenges right now. We have two federal grants which are supporting EVSC social work that will be expiring after this school year. Mm-hmm. And we have 22 school social workers employed by the funds from those grants. And so we're working hard to find replacement dollars to fund those positions.
And the auction, will that help with the
auction? The auction, I mean, you have to have a motor before the car can run, and
yeah.
So the auction supports a lot of different things with regard to programs and activities of the organization, but we're also working with individuals and corporations and school partners to raise dollars. We're trying to find resources at the state and federal level. We have to look at try not to leave a stone unturned, I guess you could say.
So
we hope we'll be successful.
What would your top three wish lists be if you could just have any three wishes?
If I could have three wishes, I wish I'd hit the lottery because I'd give most of it to youth first.
You would, wouldn't you?
I sure would. I think it's a great investment.
Wow.
The literature says that for every dollar you invest in prevention, the community will save 10. For every young person we turn around from dropping out of school, engaging in drug and alcohol use, and criminal behavior, will save community more than $2 million for each child that we turn around. So it's a terrific investment. And I'm a volunteer. I'm not a paid employee, but my reward is seeing kids be successful.
Better. You're amazingly committed and dedicated to this, and I think maybe it takes somebody like you to lead something like this. In closing, I just have to ask you this because I hear this a lot. How do you answer to people that say all kids drink, all college kids drink? It's the culture to overdrink.
Well, I think there are lots of misperceptions out there. And perceptions often do drive behavior, or misperceptions drive behavior. If kids think everybody's doing something, they may be more likely to do it. But the reality is that most kids are still making good decisions.
Right.
At EVSC, for example, we found that 7 out of 10 EVSC students mm-hmm. rarely or never drink, and rarely or never was one or two times a year or less.
Yeah.
And most students and parents in this region find that difficult to believe.
I know.
But,
that's why I ask.
So
perception.
We feed that accurate information back to the students and parents with hopes that those kids who are sitting on the fence will make the right decisions and not engage in those behaviors, because most kids are making good decisions.
And that is very good to know. And
mm-hmm.
I think Youth First has changed that perception.
On the one hand, we have some problems to deal with, and we can always do better. On the other hand, there's still a lot of good kids out there.
Yeah, and I think it's exciting that you're covering the whole gamut of young people and their culture and through the schools, through the courts, through Adventure-Based Challenge, through all the programs you do. Okay, we've got 1 minute left. In 1 minute, what would you like if you could ask this community to do anything to help Youth First? What would it be in a minute?
Well, it would have to be to support us, either through donations, volunteerism, advocacy in other ways, but we need community support to be able to sustain what we're doing. Grants have a timeline, and after that time, they're gone. If the community sees value in what Youth First is providing, then they need to make an investment in that and support it in an ongoing way. We don't charge for any of the services that these school social workers provide to kids and families.
Right.
And I think that's a great thing.
Yes, it is.
As a health care provider, before I retired, oftentimes somebody would tell a patient that they could only have 3 treatment days.
Yeah.
Or 1 lifetime treatment, or that their benefits were being stopped because they felt like they had reached maximum benefit.
Mm-hmm.
The school social workers are in the schools. They're seeing kids while they're still connected to school, still in touch with their families, and still have some healthy social relationships, and they're salvageable.
Yes, it's incredible.
We saw the tip of the iceberg in the treatment center.
Yeah.
Only 5% of those who have addiction problems ever see the inside of a treatment program.
That's just unreal.
A lot of them end up dead or in jail or
an ABC.
Dealing with other consequences.
Well, thank you. And I'd love to have you back to talk more.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I just think if anybody wants to come to the most fun thing, come to that auction on April 23rd. They have everything there that you could possibly want. It's a true community, exciting party.
Come early and bid high.
And the food's good. Well, Tri-State, have a wonderful holiday weekend. We will tune in again next week on Radio Rehab. If you want to hear Dr. Wooten again, go to lisasifecares.net, hit podcast, and you'll hear him on the World Wide Web. You can find him at Youth First, 421-8336.
Or youthfirstinc.org.
Or youthfirstinc.org. Let's stay involved, get involved. It's worth it for our kids and families. Until next week, don't forget to do the next right thing.